Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. Amen. The Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, the reason I use my pocket dictionary at the end is everything changes. Jesus is the Word, and He wants you to have this fullness of life. And when Jesus says something, it's not just a little phrase. It goes beyond what He says. And 100 million years from now, when you read the book of heaven again, when you're into it, Jesus as the Word is going to expand your capacity to understand more what these words are. He calls them divine lives. Every word that Jesus speaks lives eternally, because the Word of God spoke it. So jokingly, I use that big dictionary, but everything changes. Everything changes, especially when you listen to Jesus. It's not the way we think. He's going to teach us the way to think divinely. So he says, so all that is beautiful, all that is good, all that is holy, all that is great, operating in a spontaneous ways. This spontaneity is what God loves. That's what children have. Children have a spontaneity. You know, you give a flower to a child, and the child looks at the flower and then eats it. God loves our spontaneity. He wants us to delight in what He's showing us. He says, on the other hand, the one who operates and loves in a forced way, and again, that's where a lot of religious live. That's why a lot of sisters left the convent, a lot of priests left the church. They were forced. I remember a good friend of mine said to me, you know, I resented what God made me do. And I'm going, you know, it was voluntarily, wasn't it? And it was no. He had to do this. So he was happy that he didn't have to anymore. And that's why, the other hand, the one who operates and loves in a forced way loses what is best. His works, his love can be called, and his deed are lifeless. And as a consequence, they are subject to mutability, while spontaneity produces firmness and good. And that's what God is looking for. As Our Lady said, let it be done as you say. Let this happen as you wish. I want to please God, but I don't know man. How can I do this? And that's what God is looking for. He's going to lead, guide, and direct you. So again, we rushed through the last talk. Don't feel bad about that. I do, but don't you feel about it. It's let Jesus speak to you. Let Jesus lead you. All I want you to begin is to taste this. This is so beautiful that when you're alone in your room and when you're praying, you can slow down and listen to Jesus. Listen to him speak to you. And he's talking to you. You've been predestined to live at this time. So Jesus says, now, my daughter, the sign that the soul lives in my divine will is her loving, operating, and also suffering spontaneously. Strain does not exist. My divine will keeps her with its communicatives so to her as her own. Oh my goodness, as her own spontaneity. Okay, so as to have her with itself, with its love that runs inside its works that never cease. Otherwise, it would be a bother for it to keep her inside its womb of light, without the characteristics of its spontaneous ways. This womb of light is what God is asking us to enter into. You know, it's heaven. Even more, the creature who is all eyes, that's from the book of Revelation, all eyes to look at my divine Fia, as she does not want to be left behind, but wants to run together with the divine will, to love with its divine will's love, and to be present inside the divine will's work. It works in order to requite it and sing the praises of its power and of its creative magnificence. It's to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. That's what Jesus said to Louisa. He says, the souls that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, he says, are anticipating hell. The souls that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are anticipating heaven. So that's what we want. We want that. Therefore, run, run always, and let your soul, with no effort, plunge itself into my divine volition so as to go through its ways together with its love, its loving ways, and filled with strategisms for the love of creatures. So it's to enter into a new life of love and to be spontaneous. People go, well, what do I have to do next? What do I have to do next? What is Jesus telling you? Well, what am I supposed to read? What do you have, the book of heaven? You know, if you then read where you start left off. Well, what else should I do? Do you have the Echo book? Do you have the Passion book? Do you have the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom book? Do you have the You Must Know book? Read. Just say to Jesus, what do you want me to read? And then pick up a book and start reading. It's be spontaneous. Let the Lord lead you, guide you, direct you. There's no rules or regulations. Jesus says, I'm going to give you as much as you want or as little as you want. That's what God's waiting for. He's waiting for us to let him lead, guide, and direct us. Okay. Volume 34, 12-2, 1935. My blessed daughter, when the creature does and lives in the divine will, our supreme being darts through her with its divine light continuously. It darts through her mind and casts into her mind a divine nobility of divine thoughts in such a way that she feels in her intelligence, memory and will, the three powers, the sanctity of remembering, the remembrance of her creator, the love and the will of the one, of he who assumed the role of actor, forms in it the divine order, the divine wisdom, darting through it with its kisses of divine light and casting the divine substance into her mind in such a way that everything is noble, everything is holy, everything is sacred in the soul. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It goes beyond that. And Jesus says, this is what I need you to read if you want it. If you want this gift, listen to Jesus. He's talking to you when you read. And then you read this and you go, I can't believe this is true. And God goes, it's more than true. Wait till you see it. And it's when it enters into the life that we're going to live, it's going to be great. The actor, listen, this actor of my volition, forming its dwelling in the creative intelligence. See, this actor of my volition, forming its dwelling in the created intelligence of God, with its divine power, divine mastery, forms in the soul its divine image. See, going back to the image and likeness of God. It darts through her heart. It forms the divine nobility of love, the desires of the affections of the heartbeat. It darts through her mouth and forms the divine nobility of the words. It darts through her works and steps, and it forms the holy works of divine nobility of the steps. And it darts through, not only through the soul, but also through the body with this divine light and invests her blood, which ennobles it in such a way that the creature feels the fullness of divine sanctity and the substance of divine nobility flow within her blood and through her members. Image and likeness of God. This is so amazing. Volume 34, 520, 1936. All those who saw me ascend into the heavens received many graces, such that all of them laid down their lives in order to make known the kingdom of redemption and laid the foundation on which to form my holy church so as to gather in her maternal bosom, all the human generations, everyone will become Catholic. Everyone has to become Catholic. That's the universal life. That's the life that Adam had. And again, don't worry about what's happening in the Vatican or other places. The gates of hell will not prevail. Don't worry about that. God is in charge. Wait till you see what he's going to do. He's going to astonish the world in the same way. Now listen to this. The first children of the kingdom of my divine will, hopefully that's you and me, shall be few. There's not many. It's not your family. It's not your friends. It's not your neighbors. It's not your coworkers. It's not your parishioners. They don't want it. The first children of the kingdom of my divine will shall be few, period. You have to understand that. This is not a devotional life that's normal. This is what people have known for 2,000 years. This is a new way of living. And Jesus says the majority are going to say no to it. And again, it's a secret. How come I haven't learned about Louisa? Why didn't the saints talk about Louisa? No, this is God saves the best for last. And this is what's coming. But the graces, listen to this, which they shall be invested shall be such and so great. That's us. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. They shall be invested, shall be such and so great. I can't see anymore. That they shall lay down their lives in order to call everyone, past, present, and future, to live into this kingdom, this holy kingdom. The cloud. Cloud always represents mystery. The mystery of light. And that's why the dawn of a mystery, the DVD, Dawn of a Mystery, it's about this mystery that Jesus has given to Louisa. And it's a new beginning for Christ and his church. It's read all 36 volumes. When you're done with all 36 volumes, if you have any complaints, come to me. Before that, I don't want to listen to any complaints. You said, no, read it, study it, put it in bed, listen to what Jesus says. You're going to learn more than what I know. I don't know anything. All I know is that I'm repeating what Jesus said. Get into it. Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus teach you, guide you, direct you. Do you trust Jesus? Do you believe in him? If you believe that he spoke to Louisa, which the church says it does, how do we know that? The investigation that was there in Corrado got done with their investigation. They said Louisa should be canonized, and they sent it to Rome. Now the Vatican is reading it, and they're going, "What is this?" And a lot of them are afraid. Because things are going to change. Things are going to change for the better. And it's a lot like, you know, in our government. A lot of things are going to change. And it's going to be good. God is going to take care of it. So don't worry. A cloud of light invested me, removing my presence from the sight of my disciples, who remained as though ecstatic and contemplating my person, for the enchantment of my beauty was such as to keep their pupils enraptured. So much so that they were unable to lower their eyes in order to look at the earth. And in fact, it took an angel to stir them and have them return to the cenacle. This too is a symbol of the kingdom of my divine will. And I told you about this light. The light that shall invest the first children shall be such and so great that they shall bring the divine beauty, divine enchantment, divine peace of my divine fiat in such a way that creature shall easily surrender to wanting to know and to love and so great a good. Your family is going to say, tell me about this. Not now, but when the event occurs, they're going to say, tell me about this. And we're going to be so involved in this, hopefully, that it will just be flowing out of us. Like, well, let me tell you this. Jesus said this in volume 27. Jesus said this in volume 3. Listen to what Jesus said. And you're going to be so excited because finally the block is going to be gone. And don't worry. It's only one person is very concerned about what's coming. And that's the evil one. The evil one knows his time is over. Our Lady said that in the apparition in Rome. The time is now coming to an end. The new era is going to begin very quickly. She appeared to Bruno 40 days after Louisa died. A great sign for all of us. So he says very clearly, now in the midst of the disciples, there was my mama, Mary, who was present at my departure in heaven. And this is the most beautiful symbol. Our Lady is the most beautiful symbol. She, Mary, is the queen of my church. She, Mary, attends to the church, protects the church, defends the church. Do you think I think God would allow the church to go the wrong way. No. What he's doing is he's allowing everybody to choose what they want. And the choice will be eternal. And when we want what God wants it to for this holy church, it's going to be glorious. Don't worry about that. Just be peaceful. She, Our Lady, shall then sit in the midst of her children of my divine will. She, Our Lady, shall be the engine, the life, the guide, the perfect model, the teacher of the kingdom of the divine fiat that Our Lady so greatly cherishes. We're going to be like Our Lady. We're going to be with Our Lady. We're going to be with our Lord. Remember some of the apparitions, they said, Our Lady will never appear on earth again. Oh, everybody goes, oh, it's going to be horrible. No, it's going to be great. Why? She doesn't have to appear anymore. It's not going to be an apparition. It's not going to be a vision. It's not going to be a locution. That was for the saints. Wait till you see what God's got planned. Volume 34, 3-6-1937. So the first thing there is to communicate, to make the creature feel the divine power, the divine love of my divine will. It is the whole of creation. You're going to feel the I love you from the trees. Now, that might sound weird, but Jesus said in volume 36, I gave you your human senses to experience God. You're to see God. You're to hear God. You're to smell God. You're to taste God. You're to touch God. Scripture says no man can see God and live. Absolutely. In the fallen state. Absolutely. Adam walked and talked with God in the cool of the evening. That's what's coming. As Catholics, we see Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. That's Jesus, the Son of God, imprisoned. And he's saying, I'm waiting for you to come to visit me. We smell the odor of sanctity when the incense goes up. It's our prayer. We see our prayer going to heaven. Well, you hear the word of God spoken. You hear the homilies. It's Jesus speaking to you. It's the taste. You receive the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of Christ. You're tasting God. We're beginning to use our senses in a Catholic way, in a universal way. And that's why he's saying very clearly, creation has the virtue given by us, triune God, that while it increases, nourishes, helps, sustains the natural life in the same way, penetrating inside our soul by means of the human acts. Now, wait till you learn this. It penetrates into the soul and performs a double office. And if it finds the little life of my divine will in that soul, then my same divine will that is formed, that is found in created things, kisses my divine will present in the soul, molds the soul, blows its breath into the soul. This is what God did with Adam. God, the Ruah of God, the breath of God, breathed divine life into Adam. Expands her capacity and finding the little paradise, it rests and administers the aids and means that created things contain so that nothing may be lacking in order to raise and maintain the divine life of my divine will in the soul. Creation is going to do that. You're going to experience the I love yous. You look at a sunset and you go, wow, that's pretty. No, begin to feel and hear and smell and taste the I love you of God in a sunset. Look, when you see the leaves flickering in the tree, every one of those flickers that I love you to us from God. Begin to experience it. That's what Adam did in paradise. He took all the I love yous and gave it back to God, praising God and glorifying God with God's love. He was in God's image and likeness. God is beginning this again for mankind. Through whom? Through this little newborn, Luisa Picaretta. Now, there is a second way, more splendid, more lavishing with love, the divine love that burns us, triune God. Our desire for the creature is to possess our divine will as life is so great that each act, each thought, each word, each heartbeat, each work and step that the soul does in the divine will is a divine animation that we, Triune God, give to the soul. Our divine being runs in each of her acts in order to give her from our own. We surround it, we vivify it, so as to make it to be reborn in our divine will. So we can say, so that we can place ourselves at her disposal in order to form this divine life. Think about that for about 24 hours. It's just amazing. It's you have to enter into this. You have to listen to Jesus. And if you don't know something, don't worry. Jesus, you know, I say that to God all the time. I've got a pea brain. You gotta explain this to me a lot deeper than what I can think, the way I can think. And in time, all of a sudden you go, oh, that's what you mean. Oh, this is great. This is amazing. God has plans. He needs us to say yes. He needs us to do this. But do you know the reason for so much interest on our part, God says? Because we, Triune God, want our divine will to form the beautiful generations, human generations of the divine will in the will of the soul. Then we, Triune God, will have many divine lives of ours that love us and glorify us. How beautiful shall creation be? Everything shall be ours. Everything shall we, Triune God, everywhere shall we, Triune God, find our throne and our palpitating life. Everything's going to be a reflection of God. And that's why he created a paradise for us. He wants us to participate in his reflection. That's what he's asking us to do. Now, there is a third way. Now, this is where most of us are. It's the circumstances of life and of the occasions, the order of our providence for each soul, the mortifications and the sorrows. These are all means to make and develop in an admirable way the divine life of my divine will in souls. So the circumstances that you're in, the occasions that you're in, the mortifications that you're in, the sorrows that you're in, Jesus says, is the third way. That's where we are. And what the Lord is asking of us is to give our fiat. Again, a lot of times it's tough. A lot of times, you know, we say, I'm not going to give my fiat on this. God says, fine. I mean, Lucifer said that. I will not serve. I will not obey. We're in a fallen state. And most of us are so self-centered and selfish, so egotistical that God has to break us down. He has to break us like a cowboy breaks a horse. God wants us tamed. And we are so filled with pride and arrogance. God goes, good. You want to be like that? You're going to have to suffer some breaks here so that we will not die and go to hell. He doesn't want to lose us. A lot of the suffering that we've gone through, and especially in families, I've seen a lot of the suffering that there should be prayer for. God allows certain people in the family to suffer, and they are souls that God has asked to suffer so that their relatives and friends don't go to hell. It's something that you have to remember that we're all in this together. We want to enter into the kingdom. We want to bring our family and friends into the kingdom. And God says, then somebody's got to take their place of suffering because they're on the verge of falling into the abyss. And this is what Jesus is saying. This is the third way, mortifications and sorrows. If God has given you to be a victim soul, and that's what to enter the divine will is to be a victim soul. It's to say to God, I no longer want to live in my human will. I want to live in your divine will. I don't want to do anything in the human will ever again. God goes, good, good. Now prove it. And that's when we have to go through mortifications and sufferings. So again, therefore, there is nothing in which it does not prepare its prime act of life to give it to creatures. Oh, listen to this, what Jesus says. If everyone would pay attention with mortifications and sorrows, how happy they would feel, secure and under the rain, this pouring rain of a will so holy that loves them so much as to reach the excess of wanting to form its life in the poor soul. So what do you got prepared for Lent? What are you going to do for Lent? Well, I think I'll be nice to people. You're supposed to be nice to people. It has to do, a lot of it has to do with fasting, and I know that some people can't fast. We're living in a time where it's not to starve yourself. It's to give up. It's to eat like the poor. How does the poor eat? I remember when I went to Europe and the people were fasting. I thought you fasted at, you know, morning, noon, and evening. You fasted. But what the people did is they ate a little bit during the day. It wasn't much. It was bread. But they ate a little bit during the day as their prayer. They're fasting. You eat a slice of bread every other hour or every hour. You're not eating much, but you're not starving. So it's not to starve yourself. It's to eat like the poor, to remember the poor. And what it does is it helps everyone. Prayer, Jesus says, sometimes you need prayer and fasting to get rid of these demons. And there's a lot of demons that are out there that need to be gone. Volume 34, 7/25/1937. No, that's not it. Volume 34, volume 3, excuse me. Volume 34, 3/14/1937. Having to descend to the lowliness of the human acts in order to form its life, it wants to make its way by means of acts in order to give its own divine life to the souls. More so, since life cannot be formed outside of a person, but always inside a person, otherwise it would lack the necessary things, the vital humors, to form life in the same way. Now listen to this. My divine will cannot form its life from heaven or outside the creature. It must descend inside the creature, inside the soul. And the human will must surrender its place to the divine will. It must concur with the divine will. Because we, triune God, do not want things done by force. And once we have found this creature who can tell you what we, triune God, do, we do great graces. We pour out the divine love that we have for the soul. This is not about works, but about a divine life of ours that we, triune God, want to develop. Therefore, we hold nothing back. And only in heaven shall it be known what we have done. Wait till I can't wait for heaven. Don't think you're not going to see your acts and your rounds done here on earth. It's the intention that God is looking at. Do you intend to do your prevening act in the morning? And do you do your prevening act in the morning? Do you intend to do your actual acts throughout the day? And do you actually do your actual acts throughout the day in the divine will? That's what God's waiting for. Do you want this? He wants to give this to us. He says, I want to give you this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. This is what God wants. Therefore, be attentive. That to me, read every day. Read every day. Listen to Jesus every day. He's going to speak to you every day through when you read the book of heaven. And you don't read it, you know, you don't read it just to get it done. Listen to Jesus. Be attentive and live always under the reign of my volition. In this way, investing all of your action, it shall animate them with my divine life, and you shall give me, triune God, Jesus, as many children for as many acts that you shall do. Every word is a divine life. Every act, Jesus says, is a divine life that lives forever. When he said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, it was not about just children. It was every act, every thought, every word, every deed. Why? To be in God's image and likeness. To do what God does. Volume 34, 7/25/1937. Blessed daughter Louisa, of my volition, did you see how sweet was the murmuring of the sea of my divine will? Now there's two types of murmuring. We're going to learn first the divine murmuring. And also souls who live in the divine will do nothing but murmur together with the sea, the perfect echo of my divine fiat that never ceases to murmur what? I love you. I glorify you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. Together with the sea. It's the perfect echo of my fiat that they never cease to murmur. I love you. I praise you. But in a simple way. If they breathe, they murmur, I love you. If they palpitate, I love you. If blood circulates in their veins, I love you. If they think, I love you. If they move, I love you. In everything they murmur, I love you, love you, love you. Glory to our God. Glory to our Creator. Now there's another kind of murmuring. They said this and they're doing this and they said this. Jesus says, stop it. Stop your murmuring. He says, you won't be able to murmur, I love you, when you're complaining, negative, upset, worried, fearful about everything and everyone. He says, stop it. Well, Father, you don't understand. You know, I don't understand. I love that when people say that. You don't understand. I have to worry. My children are on the way to hell. Absolutely, they're on the way to hell. Everybody's on the way to hell. Jesus wants the divine will to reign. And Jesus says, focus on this and I will take care of everything. You do what I want and I'll do what you want. You believe Jesus. I trust him with my family. I trust him with my friends, my neighbors, my coworkers, my parishioners. I trust him. I can't do anything. I mean, the number of places that I've preached in every parish that I've been in, I can count on one hand in every parish. One hand in every parish. How many people wanted to respond to God in the way I thought God wanted. To give, to surrender everything, to let God be their life, their light, their love. Nobody listens. But if you sit down with Jesus, you will begin to listen to Jesus. He will teach you how to live this life. And if they call my divine will into their acts, they form mighty waves. Ocean, this is waves to envelop God and the creatures so that all heaven and earth may do one single will. And act in my divine will can be like a mighty wind. Such as to transport and uproot with its strength all your human passions, your weaknesses, your bad habits, the putrefied air of sin, and substitute them with divine virtues of divine strength, holy habits, and the sanctifying air of my divine will. It's going to change you completely. Well, Father, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. God wants to change you from your miserable human life to a life that's divine. Well, I can't do that. That's absolutely right. You can't do it. You got to give your fiat. Don't limit God. God says, I want to give you this. Say, okay, help me do this. I speak like Our Lady. I want this more than anything. Let it be done as you say. And act in my divine will can be a universal air. That penetrating everywhere and everyone. See, it's universal. It's Catholic. Day and night, they can let itself be breathed in order to infuse its divine life, its divine sanctity, dispelling the sickly air of the human will. It substitutes it with the solitary air of my fiat in such a way as to let creatures remain sweetened, embalmed, vivified, healed by this divine air. You want this? God wants to give it to you. He really does. He says, enacted my fiat can be a celestial atmosphere that encloses itself all within itself, all of our works and the very creation itself with the strength from our divine works, storms our divinity and imposes itself upon us, triune God, to make us, triune God, give graces and gifts such as render the creature capable of receiving the kingdom of my most holy divine will. God's going to do this. An act in our divine will can contain such wonders that the soul is incapable of comprehending all of its value. We have no idea of what God is going to do. Everything is, let it be done as you say. When the angel said to Mary, you're going to be the mother of God, she says, let it be done to me as you say. Fiat mihi. Give it, let it be done as you want, as you wish. She didn't say, well, wait a minute. I'm a young girl. She said, let it be done as you say. That's what God is waiting for from us. Volume 35, 12:14, 1937. My blessed daughter, just as nature has its day for the human life, during which all the actions of life are carried out, in the same way, my divine will forms its day. A new day is beginning. The dawn of a new day is beginning. In the depth of the soul who lives in the divine will, it's going to begin for all those who want to live this life. As the creature begins to form her acts in the divine will, calling the divine will as her own life, so does my divine will begin its new day, forming the most splendid daybreak in the depth of her soul. This daybreak reunites the powers of her soul and renews in her the power of the Father, the wisdom of the Son, the virtue and love of the Holy Spirit. It's no longer the earth, the flesh, and the devil. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is what God has planned. He loves you. He loves his children. And he's very upset about what's going on. He said that to Louisa. He says, you haven't come after me. So I am coming after you. I know how you live. And I'm tired of it, Jesus says. It's important to turn to him for all the world. It's important to turn to him for all the world. Therefore, my divine will begins its new day together with the most holy sacrosanct Trinity. This is what's coming. That descends into the littlest acts and hiding places of the soul in order to carry out its divine life together with the soul. And to do whatever the soul does. Image and likeness. This daybreak puts to flight all the darkness of the soul in such a way that everything is divine light for the soul, standing at attention as a vigilant sentry so that all her acts may receive the divine light of the divine will. See, this light is what our God wants us to participate in. It's the light of Jesus. It's the light of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. This daybreak is the first rest of God within the room of the soul. It is the beginning of the eternal day in which the life of the Supreme Being begins together with the creature. My divine will does not move, nor can the divine will move or be without the adorable Trinity. At the most, it goes ahead of them. It pays the role of actor. It plays the role of actor, and it draws them along with itself in an irresistible way, forming the divine chamber in which the divine persons can enjoy their soul, that little soul, Louisa, and those souls linked to Louisa. So loved by them, by the triune God. Wherever the divine will reigns, my divine will has the power to centralize everything, even our divine life. How beautiful is the beginning of the beginning of the day of the one Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa who lives in our fiat. It is the enchantment of the whole of heaven. It is the whole celestial court if the whole celestial court were subject to envy, heaven would envy the soul who is so fortunate as to possess inside her soul while still living in time. Remember, Our Lady says time is now coming to an end. There's a very short period where you got to get to know this. The devil says three things. Number one, I don't exist. People say, I believe he exists. He says, there is no hell. I believe there's a hell. He says, there's plenty of time. You can do it tomorrow. Don't fall into the third lie. There's not plenty of time. There's not plenty of time. How do I know? Our Lady said, time has now come to an end. Oh, the beginning of the eternal day, the precious day in which God begins to carry out his little life, his life, his divine life together with the soul. It's going to happen, and it's happening soon. It's happening for all those who want it. Like I said, the little children of the Holy Divine Will are happy. They're not complaining. They're not negative. They're not worried. They're not fearful. They're saying, fiat, Lord, you want me to have this fiat? Let it be done as you say. That's Our Lady. That's Our Lady's echo. That's Jesus's echo. Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's Louisa's echo. The fiat voluntas tua. May your kingdom reign in me on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. God has got great plans. Now, as the soul moves to do the second act in the divine volition, so does the Son of my eternal will rise. The fullness of its divine light is such as to invest all the earth, visiting every heart, all hearts, bringing them the good news of light, of new joys, of the whole celestial court. When you're doing your acts, the face of the earth is changing. Let's just look at the last election. How did that happen? She wasn't meant to lose. How did that happen? The power of the divine will is unbelievable. It's changing the face of the earth. Let's look at your families. It's slowly changing. The more you enter into the divine will, you're affecting its fullness of light is such to invest all the earth. It visits all the hearts of mankind, bringing the good morning of divine light, new joys to the whole celestial court. Everything is changing because of this gift of the divine will. That's why Our Lady said, 40 days after Louisa died, time has now come to an end. The new era has begun. It's begun. This divine light is crammed with divine love, divine adoration, divine thanksgiving, divine gratitude, divine glory that has made the sun rise and shine over everyone in such a way that everyone find the one, Louisa, loved by God for them. That's what Louisa did. The one, Louisa, who has adored him for us, that thanked him for us, that blessed him for us, that glorified him for us. She's done everything. She's the newborn, the firstborn. She possesses the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. Everything's going to change. You have to understand this. Everyone finds that he is obliged. Everyone finds what he has obliged to do for God, and everyone is substituted for. That's Louisa. This is why I have a picture of Louisa. She's so important. Okay. One act in my divine will must enclose everything. It has the divine power, the divine capacity to make up for everyone and to do good for everyone. Otherwise, it could not be called an act done in my divine will. This isn't a human act. You have to begin to understand what Jesus is telling us. This isn't a devotional life. Jesus said that to Faustina. The final devotion I've given to my church before I return is divine mercy. Why? The divine will's coming. And he says right here, it has the power and the capacity to make up for everyone and to do good for everyone. Otherwise, it could not be called an act done in my divine will. These acts are jam-packed with unheard of prodigies. Unheard, the angels don't even know. What's coming upon the earth, the angels can't even comprehend what God is going to do. So one person said to me a long time ago, what God is going to do is even going to surprise the Blessed Mother. What God has planned is he doesn't lose. Unheard of prodigies, worthy of a creative work. This is our God. This is what he has done. Volume 35, 1-2, 1938. I continued my flight in the divine volition, and I was thinking to myself, the living in the divine will seems incredible. How can one live in the divine will if the miseries and the weaknesses that one feels are so many, and the encounters and the circumstances? But as much as one feels them, it seems that the divine will wants to invest everything with its divine light and burn everything up with its divine love, in such a way that nothing other than its will and its love must exist between itself and the soul. Did you hear what Jesus wants us to know? Through Louisa, did you hear what Jesus wants? Everything's going to change. A new era has begun. You must know, again, this is a command from Jesus, that before the soul comes to live in our divine will, we purify everything. That's what's happening to the church. That's what's happening to the nation. We cover and hide everything inside our love in such a way that we must see nothing but love in this creature. When our love was hidden, everything, even the miseries, when does she take her place inside our divine will? He says, everything, our love has hidden everything, even the miseries. Even more, every time she admits an act, first she is purified. And then our divine will invests her and makes of her what the divine will wants. My daughter, in my divine will, there's neither judgments or judges, because the sanctity, the order, the purity, and the utility of our divine ways, the triune God's ways, is such and so great that everyone must lower their foreheads. Everyone must adore whatever we, triune God, do. Therefore, do not lose peace. That's why I'm saying don't worry about a thing. Do not lose peace. Don't be concerned with the miseries and the circumstances in your life. Don't worry about them. But leave them at the mercy of my divine will, so that it may make of them its portents of divine love. So we'll end there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.